My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
The problem most men have is they don't know how to talk to women.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
You know what my problem is? I am not interesting.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
What am I supposed to say? I went to magic camp? I'm an accomplished ventriloquist?
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Oh, I am a 7th degree imperial yo-yo master. Oh, do me, yo-yo master. I want you to do me because you're the yo-yo guy.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in hour number two. Good morning, bright and early, Portland. 7.02 a.m. Dirt and Sprague here. Your coffee boys, your morning roasters. Oh, it's good. It's glorious Tuesday morning. We have a lot to get to, Andrew. Get farting around here.
Yeah, quit screwing around over there.
Ticker's been moved to 8 a.m. We got a mail sack an hour and 15 minutes from now.
That we do.
If you're new to the program, good morning. The mail sack is basically our Reddit AMA. You can ask us literally anything. And you can text those questions into the Vancouver 4 text line, 503-864-6326. They teach you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them at Vancouver4.com. Put them in the YouTube chats, or you can tweet them at Dirt and Sprague. That is the show page.
Hello.
We will have fun with the college football AP Top 25 being released, and we're going to pivot it into our AP, not real AP, preseason NFL Top 10.
I think we got to go with the DS Top 10.
The DS Top 10?
The DS.
The preseason DS
Top 10. Pre-DS Top 10.
We will get to that coming up at 7:15. Let's kick off the second hour of the program. Swag was not ready for us to do this, so I will fully take all of the onuses on me here. I'm out. We don't have very many days we're missing the rest of the year. It is almost, I mean, it's football season, but almost like lock-in football season.
Yeah, you guys are bailing the rest of the week. See you later.
Swag's birthday's coming up. Yeah, he's going to Hawaii.
He's going to Hawaii for a week.
I'm off to a camping trip.
Yeah, what the hell, man?
You can see the excitement here.
Have fun. Have a great time.
At least I got a cabin this time. I am not doing tent cabbing.
I'm going to come put a rock underneath your mattress.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Just to give you the more real experience.
And so I wanted to do this because I know you'll be solo dolo. I didn't, you know, it's a good thing for you to have, but I thought it'd be more fun as a show. We are pleased to announce, and this will be a little bit fluid, I think, from time to time.
Yeah.
But this year, we will be having Josh Pate weekly on the program during football season.
He has agreed to do a regular hit with us in the season.
Oh,
it's a big move for us.
We've been
trying. It's a B1T move right there.
I'll just give you a backstory. We've been trying for years. We caught wind of Josh Pate a little before he really blew up, and we had him on, and he was great, and we went, oh, my God. Somebody in the South that loves football, that loves to talk about all of the football.
Also complimentary of teams that are outside of the SEC region, which you don't always get in that neck of the woods.
And so we're pleased to announce, and I think a lot of this has to do with Oregon going to the B1G, Josh Pate, Pate State material, Pate State University is coming to Dirt and Sprague every Wednesday. Now, scheduled at 7:45.
That's the plan.
But again, he is a fluid dude. He might have to travel. There might be a random thing that pops up. We will be moving to any time he needs to, but largely 7:45 every Wednesday.
He gave me that window. He's like, that's usually a pretty safe time. Wednesday is usually a pretty safe day.
Yeah.
he when he's going to be on location or if he's going to games, he said, I usually travel on Thursday.
Perfect.
So that's the plan. We got a couple of things we got to, you know, just tidy up some details. But yes, the most productive thing from my trip to Indianapolis this. Will be this.
I accomplished something. Yay!
It's day 92.
We did it.
We're going on day 92 here.
Yeah.
What I would say, if you are asking honestly, my only takeaway from Big Ten Media Day is that Swag was able to meet him, get a number.
Yeah.
Talk, you know, face to face and secure this. So it's a kudos to Jason Swigard. And I totally agree with you. That was about the best part of Big Ten Media Day in my experience.
Yes. Dude, I'm jacked, man. I can't wait to have him on. I'm a P1 of his show. I love college football. And he does his show three times a week. I watch it three times a week during the football season. And he's as good as it gets out there. We love having him on to talk national college football and then focus on our teams. He was in Corvallis for a game last year. He's been to Eugene for a game a couple of years ago. And I got a chance to meet him. Very excited to have him on. And it just will enhance our football season a little bit to have a kind of a break in our thoughts and what we're thinking and what we're going through as Ducks and Beavers and Huskies and all that, and to get him to come on once a week is going to be a lot of fun.
So let's get to the AP Top 25, and this was released after the show yesterday. Georgia comes in at one to no shocking development. Ohio State was the second most first place votes with 15. They're number two.
Yes.
Your Duckies got one first place vote.
We talked to the guy. There was only one. He thought there was going to be more, but Brett McMurphy was the only one to vote Oregon number one.
Nobody's
given us a chance.
Yeah. Okay.
No, but only one person? Look at that.
You're ranked number
underdog.
You're ranked ahead of Texas, who was in the playoff. You're ranked ahead of Bama, who was in the playoff. I don't see Washington even on this list. They were in the playoff. Oh, no, there's Michigan, the national champions. Yeah. They're number nine.
Washington.
Maybe you shouldn't lose your head coach. Hold on to your head coach. You'll be a top three team in the country. Try that.
Texas didn't lose their coach.
Well, they're losing running backs left and right.
Okay, well.
Should be a little concerned about that.
So Oregon's at three. They're in the top five for the first time since, what, Mariota's last year, 14?
I would guess. Yeah, I don't think they've been preseason top five in a while.
Texas at four, Bama five, Ole Miss, Notre Dame, Penn State, Michigan, Florida State round out your top 10. Whittingham is at 12. Clemson, who you have at 19 for our ticker today, they're at 14. You had Tennessee at 20. They are 15th. You go down the list, Mario's at 19 in Miami, Brennan in Arizona at 21, the Jayhawks are at 22, so we're pretty close to being right on that one, SC 23, and Iowa, who you didn't have, is number 25.
We have standards at the Dirty Poll that evidently AP voters don't have, and that's score an offensive touchdown.
I may have said this to you before in past shows, but like, if I was you, and this was my, like, if Phil was a Beaver, not a Duck.
Yeah.
I still don't think this would be normal in my mind, that like my team is thought of and looked at this way.
To that level?
To this level, yeah. Like I wouldn't be shocked by it, but it'd still be like, oh, it's great to see that logo. I don't see my logo here. Yeah. And so it's got to just, you see it, you know it's going to happen. You still, it hits you like, my God, here we go.
I mean, we are 2 years removed as a fan base from losing another head coach who said, you're going to have to drag me out of this building if you ever want me to leave Eugene Oregon with his introductory press conference. And when that happens, man, like, it's been a long time since Oregon's been at this level. And I think that's what was so fun about last year as a fan. I know they couldn't get over the Washington hump. Nobody could in the regular season until Michigan. But it was the first time you watched Oregon and it felt like, man, that legitimately is one of the best teams in the country. Now, where do they rank in that category? I don't know. They definitely weren't number one because they couldn't be Washington. So you're top five somewhere, but that's one of the best teams in the country. It's been a long time since you've been able to say that about the Ducks. They've had some good teams and good years. Mario won a Rose Bowl. He got to a Fiesta Bowl in the COVID year. They've had nice moments, but you haven't been able to truly look at them and say one of the top five, top six best teams in college football in at least a decade since Mariota was there. And so to be back into that mix, especially when you were on the heels of losing another coach, when you just don't know how that's going to work out, man. You hire the wrong guy. That's 2-3 years. You're pissing down the drain. Then you got to rebuild from there. It's never a guarantee that this thing will turn out. So I know that this is a year with massive expectations. And if they don't win a national championship, people will make fun of them endlessly. That's the world we live in. And I'm okay with that. There's a part of me that every time I see this, to your point, is there's like a little pinch of like, yes, this is awesome. We're back. We're in the mix. We're relevant. I don't know how the year is going to go, but it's great to be there.
Bill Connelly was on ESPN radio late last night, and he talked about Georgia's obviously number one by a pretty substantial margin, according to the voters. And Bill Connelly talked about which conference is going to challenge him the most. He thinks it's the Big Ten. Here was Bill Connelly on ESPN Radio.
I think, you know, Michigan belongs in the same department as Alabama in a lot of ways, just in terms of, I mean, obviously they were the best team in the country last year, but, you know, like one returning starter on offense, just a complete restart there, and a tricky situation to try to follow. So I think their upside is going to be pretty close to what it was in previous years. They just have so many pieces to replace that makes them a pretty big wild card. And I do think, I mean, we say this every year, I realize, but Penn State's not that far off. They've been not that far off for a while. They've never quite made up the ground on Ohio State like they were, like it seemed like they might at one point. But if the new offensive coordinator, Kotelnicki, clicks well with Drew Aller, there's plenty of talent there. And I do think, you know, their schedule's a lot more manageable than normal. They don't have to play Ohio State and Michigan. So their opportunity for success, I think, is pretty high, too.
So he thinks Michigan, Penn State might be challenging Ohio State, Oregon in the Big Ten, who a lot of people think if it's going to be a conference to win the title, I think most people would probably pick the Big Ten if they were gambling on it. It's just going to be interesting to watch kind of all of this unfold. Like the what is the run now? AP number ones not winning the national championship.
18 of the last 20 preseason number ones have not won the title. The only two teams in that stretch that won it were 2004 USC and 2017 Alabama.
And you're not, like, you're also not going to want to bet against Georgia either.
Well, the other caveat to that, so, yeah, 18 of the last 20 preseason number ones have not won the title. Georgia included last year. They were preseason number one. They did not win the title. Then you add this caveat on top. Since 2004, the national champion has come from the preseason AP poll top seven every year other than twice. That was Florida State in 2013. They started number 11, so just outside that top seven. And Auburn, who beat Oregon in 2010, started at number 22. So in the last 20 years, you've only had twice where a team outside of the preseason top seven has won a national title.
Are they? Is that Auburn team the lowest-ranked team to go on and win the title in this regard?
I would be
TCU
willing to bet that
since the BCS
to
era.
To win it. Teams have gotten there.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
TCU came out of nowhere to get there, and then they got obliterated.
But I think that TCU team was preseason ranked. I just
maybe they were. I don't remember.
I'll go
that.
Back and look.
But, I mean, it just tells you. So, I mean, history will tell you that the national champion likely won't be number one Georgia if that trend continues. But
correct.
It will fall somewhere in the Ohio State, Oregon, Texas, Alabama, Ole Miss, or Notre Dame category.
So you don't think so history says seven and up.
History says you have to be in the top seven, but you want to be number one. That's the weird thing. So you really want to be 2 through 7, historically speaking, if you want to be the national champion.
But remember, these rankings don't count.
But that's the funny thing about the AP poll. Like, I think the top 10 teams in the country, we can all pretty soundly agree on, like, just looking at rosters, who's returning, coach returning, all that kind of stuff.
Should Michigan be in? I'm asking a genuine question.
Yes, they should be in the top 10. Yes, they
because
should.
Because they won it, or because you legitimately think they are a top 10 team this year?
A combination of both. I think you deserve to be in the top 10 if you win a national title, one. And I also think that they can make an argument for maybe having the two best defensive players in all of college football
Absolutely.
On their defensive line. And that's going to go a long ways in the Big Ten. And so will Michigan win another national title? I wouldn't gamble on it. But are they going to be worse than 9-3 this year? 9-3 is probably good for a top 10 spot at the end of the season.
I have a lingering thing I want to get to with the AP. Maybe we can move the NFL, our little DNS preseason.
We can move that later in the show.
NFL top 10 that we'll have fun with, because these rankings don't matter, and yet they give us so much conversation.
Yes.
And thoughts and opinions and feelings, and I think that's why they do it. It's for that. It's the excitement of the season. It's seeing that little number that the playoff committee tells you doesn't matter, because it's not their number, but yet they use it on television all the time.
Right.
So I got a lingering thing I want to get to with some of the leftovers on the AP top 25, and then a poll question on our other local team not in the top 25. Let's get to that coming up next on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague here on this Tuesday. We tweeted a couple things yesterday. The first one that we tweeted was this picture of the 2025 AP showing like a bracket, hypothetical bracket of the playoff, the 12-team playoff. We tweeted injected into our veins.
It's been one of the best parts about the new NCAA video game. I've led Georgia Tech to the college football playoff twice now in 4 years.
Look, they might be following your mojo. They got a big recruit
they
yesterday.
They signed a five-star recruit. Somebody tagged me in a tweet. They signed a five-star recruit. They tweeted at me, hey, you're recruiting hard, I see. Now, I did throw three pick sixes in my last semifinal and lost to Tennessee, but having the brackets that are like you can see it and it's these games and oh my God, it's so much fun.
So in this hypothetical, like not real at all, but in this hypothetical, it's got Boise State, Oregon in a 12-5.
Rematch from the regular season?
Yeah, rematch of the regular season. Notre Dame, Ole Miss in an 8-9. Michigan, Texas in an 11-7 or 6. And Penn State, Bama in a 7-10. The winner of Penn State, Bama would play two Ohio State. Michigan, Texas would play Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
Funny, they get rewarded now.
That's they do. Now you're guaranteed a top four spot if you win the ACC, probably.
Not if DJ gets hurt. Yeah. They're going to bump him out no matter what happens.
Can't do that anymore.
Notre Dame, Ole Miss would play Georgia, and the winner of Boise State, Oregon would play Utah in the Fiesta. And I saw some Duck fans that were like, oh, please let this be how the bracket breaks.
If we can get that pathway, I'll take
then
that.
Then you get a rematch of Georgia in the semis.
I'll take that pathway.
Getting out of the first round, a disappointment for you guys?
If that's all we do?
If you don't get out of the first round?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
That's the disappointment bar?
I think so. I think making the playoff and going on a run, which I would consider, I mean, you might get a bye, you might not get a bye. So
let's say you don't get a bye. You lose to Ohio State, they win the Big Ten. In this hypothetical,
you have to win a playoff game.
That's
the bare minimum bar.
Okay.
Even if you don't win the Big Ten, win a playoff game. If you do win the Big Ten, then it'll be different. It'll depend on who your matchup is, where you're playing them, and all that. Like, if you lose a 31-28 game in the second round of the playoffs to Georgia, am I going to call the season a failure? But you went 11-1 and won the Big Ten?
Probably not.
Not going to say that. But I think if you're not a first-round bye team, you get to the playoff, you got to win a playoff game, which is hopefully at Autzen Stadium.
A listener asking a good question. The last runner-up in the national championship game to not be ranked, because Washington was just outside of the top 25.
I think they showed up technically number 32, if you count receiving votes. There were six other teams with more receiving votes than them. I don't know, because TCU was the last kind of random out of nowhere, not that Washington was out of nowhere, But not many people had them preseason in the title game. TCU, I believe, was ranked last year in the preseason because I remember them playing Colorado in week one.
I think
that was a top 25 win for Colorado.
Yeah, I'm trying to look this up because that one kind of got me thinking now.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of pick because you've had a lot of Georgia-Bama title games. You've had Bama-Clemson title games. None of those Notre Dame, the Notre Dame team that made it was probably ranked the next year. I mean, good luck. You might have to go back a long ways to find a team that wasn't in the top 25 the next year.
If I have to go out like earlier than 1995, I don't think I care.
It doesn't count.
Yeah. Well, you could argue pre-BCS doesn't count.
None of it counts.
That's a good question, though.
I mean, it's wild. That's where Washington's at. I would have a stronger opinion. Maybe this is outlandish, ranking Washington in the top 25 than I would USC. I look at USC and I don't get it.
Can I tell you something? So I don't know if Michigan's going to be a top 10 team. Mm-hmm. Your point on, you know, they got one of the best defensive linemen and arguably the best DB in the country.
Have you seen what their quarterback can do on one leg? He can lean down and pick up ping pong balls doing one-legged squats.
He's an orgy.
He's having an orgy.
We got an orgy in Michigan.
We do.
And Michigan may have a big chip on the shoulder. FU, you think we cheated and our coach is in trouble again? Well, we'll prove you wrong. There is not a question of doubt. Like, you win the title, you should just get a benefit going in. I think you can make an argument for the runner-up, even if they were depleted and lost their coach. Like, first of all, these rankings don't matter.
No.
Second of all, yeah, USC, Iowa, give UW a benefit and just say, hey, you guys had a great year last year.
They were in the title.
To the listener's question, doesn't it feel like our whole lives have basically been this? The two teams in the title game go in as top 25 teams the next year because it's a, hey, great job. Here you go. Until you prove otherwise,
right.
You've earned a spot in our quote-unquote prestigious top 25.
I mean, TCU lost their title game by 742 points, lost their entire team, and I still believe they were a preseason top 25 team the next year.
Yes.
I look at the USC ranking, and maybe I am out to lunch on this, and I have my Lincoln Riley blinders on. That's a program for 2 years that was propped up by one of the best college quarterbacks we have ever seen. And without him, what would USC's record have been the last 2 years? So you're telling me that either Miller Moss is going to fill in the shoes immediately of Caleb Williams to that level, in which USC went, 7-5 last year, if I'm not mistaken, in the regular season? I believe it was 7-5. So you're telling me he can carry them to 7-5 on his own, or that defense is going to take such a drastic step in 1 year from last year being one of the worst in the country in literally every category? Hiring a new DC, and that's just going to flip. You're going to be a top 50 defense in college football because they got a brutally hard schedule starting with LSU. Of all the teams that I didn't quite understand, Iowa we can make fun of because their offense is from 1937. USC, they have been propped up by Caleb Williams. He's gone, and I don't think there's enough there to fill in for his departure.
You seen Cade McNamara's practice, his scrimmage stats the other day?
So bad.
They were like, hey, this is actually positive for Iowa. He's moving the football just to the wrong team.
6 first downs and threw 7 interceptions. He's doing great.
I will just always have a problem with A&M. Elko might win at A&M, but like, what about A&M gets you that excited to put them in top 20?
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
It's a new coach. They've lost so much talent over the last couple of years. That's one for me. USC certainly understand the argument. We put up a poll question yesterday. I did this yesterday afternoon going through it. So the AP preseason top 25 was released, and Oregon State was not ranked. Will they be ranked at least once this coming season, whether that's the AP, whether that's the college football playoff ranking, will Oregon State, will my Beavs be ranked at least once this coming season? Yes or no? No. Running away by a sizable margin here, 63.1% of the voters say so far, no.
I actually voted yes on this, but I think it'll be like some people have argued in the comments and the responses that it's going to be tough because of your early schedule, having to play Oregon in the season, probably not going to win that game. Then you have some other interesting matchups like Purdue early on in the season.
Purdue at San Diego State.
At San Diego State could be a tough one.
Quote unquote conference game.
Yeah, I voted yes because I think there's still a sense of belief for me, despite all the departures, that your team is not going to be as good as it has been the last couple of years. I think that's pretty concrete. But your schedule is always also exponentially easier, right? You get Oregon early in the season, which is a tough game, but you do get them at home. All your other I don't look at any other game on your schedule and say, no chance. Like I'm not saying you go 11-1 this year.
Well, I mean,
but I'm not looking at any other game saying you have zero chance to win that game.
Yes, I agree with you.
And so you tell me they lose one early to Oregon. You got to win the Purdue game if you want to be ranked at any point.
I agree with that.
Then you get Washington State, Cal later in the season. Like, I'm not terrified of Washington State or
one
Cal.
One of those is an ACC win if
it's
they can
technically
beat
technically a Power Four win, which that shouldn't count, but it's going to count.
And then you're at Boise at the end of the year, and that's going to be massive for Boise because they may need that for the Mountain West Championship.
You tell me in the first 7 weeks your only slip up is Oregon and you're 6-1, I could easily see you slipping into a number 25 spot in the back end of the AP poll.
That's what I did, too. Now, people did note the top 25, no Group of Five team.
No.
Not one? Not one.
Yeah. It's a little strange that there wasn't one in the preseason.
I think it's just odd. I want my Beavers to be it, but even if it's not Oregon State, not one is kind of ridiculous. There's going to be a Group of Five team in this playoff.
Yes, there will be. Guaranteed spot.
There's got to be one that the voters could come up with to say, hey, this may be the best of the Group of Five, at least going into the year. To not have one, I kind of thought that was the failure of their top 25 ranking. We can debate who's where and ranked what. To not have one Group of Five, even if it's 25th, it feels very non-inclusive and like
Boys
also
Club,
it's just not realistic. There's going to be Group of Five teams. I also voted yes. I understand the argument of like the Oregon game, and it may derail them a little bit in terms of getting that respect.
I think a lot of it depends on how that game goes. Like if that game's a bloodbath, you might have a tough sell.
Sure, but if you beat Purdue and then you can start off like going to San Diego State, I think I'm not overlooking that.
No.
You got at Boise State at the end of the year. Like, if you take care of your Mountain West section and then you get Cal and Wazoo, I just think there's a point in the season where if they have only lost, to your point, 6-1, 7-1, or whatever that is, they'll be ranked. It'll be at the back end.
Yeah, you're not going to be a top 10 team.
But they'll be ranked. I thought this was a good one from Benny, who's a diehard Beav. He said, I've never been so unsure about a team before. The D should be good. The offense is a big question mark, though. Gundy will be a first-time OC, but it seems like he has his guys in place. Lots of talent, but very young.
Yeah.
Another one, I thought we had some good Oregon fan thoughts. The Oregon fans that troll it, I always enjoy, but I like the ones that give honest thoughts. It's hard for Group 5 schools to get in the top 25 unless they have multiple impressive wins, so I don't think so. Somebody says without a doubt, and then other people say like that Oregon game is just, it's massive. You got to be undefeated to start your year. I tend to disagree with that. I think you can have a loss, and albeit maybe a bad loss. I think you go in the Mountain West midway point of the year, teams are always going to play themselves out of it. Oregon State, hey, look at this. They've responded since losing Oregon. They won 5 in a row. Like, if you do something like that, you can make the top 20, you know, back end of the ranking.
Well, to that point, there's another fun stat out of the AP poll. That is that for the last 30 years, other than 2 years, there has been a team that started unranked that finished inside the top 10. Do you know who that was last year?
How many did you say there were?
For 28 of the last 30 years, there's been a team that started the year unranked that finished the year inside the top 10.
Ooh.
I wouldn't have been able to guess it. I saw the tweet, and I don't think I would have
guessed it. Give me the conference.
SEC.
Oh, Mizzou. Yeah.
Started the season unranked, finished in the top 10. There has also been, for every year of the last 21 years other than 1 year, there has been a team, and we talk about this every year, inside the top 10 that finishes the season unranked. Last year it was USC. Number 6 preseason.
There you go.
Finished the season unranked. So there's going to be topsy-turvy. Somebody's going to be overhyped. Injuries. There's going to be a team that comes out of nowhere. Maybe it's the Beavs.
I always love when these come out. I go, oh, that's cool. And then like later I read and then I look and I think and I'm like, well, this isn't right. No, that's wrong. Hey, I disagree with this.
Hey. Well, speaking of San Diego State, I do have beef against them because their beat writer was the only guy that voted the Ducks outside the top 5 in his poll. If you go to the Reddit CFB page, they put together the graphic of everybody's top 25 vote. And I was just scrolling through it. I'm like, where does, you know, I'm just curious. Wilner had like Utah number 4. And I'm like, all right, nice to see we're keeping the Pac-12 brand strong here.
Utah 4?
I think he had him in his top 5 or something like that. And there was one guy who had him scrolling. I'm like, dude, there's one guy with Oregon outside the top 5. And I scroll and I look, and it's Kurt Kenny who covers San Diego State. We should get him on. What's your problem, bro?
Let's be sure to follow that again this year. That was fun last year, finding people who had a ridiculous ranking.
Yes.
We will go to Clemson at the top of the 8 o'clock hour for our dirty poll. Top 25 preview. Clemson's number 19. We got the mail sack coming up at 8:15. We may stick on with the ranking, but actually have fun with it and go to the NFL. Coming up here soon, crunch time is around the corner. And don't forget, if you missed it, top of the hour, Josh Pate's going to join us every Wednesday starting next week. We're aiming for 7:45 every Wednesday. Josh Pate, Pate State University, coming to Dirt and Sprague on the weekly. It is 7:29. Dirt and Sprague, we are back with more on The Fan.
By the way, the listeners are in. It was the last team that was in the title game, so the runner-up, and then started the next year unranked. It was like in 1952. It was Army God. In 1952.
So a little bit of don't count.
That's how far back you gotta go.
How many votes did that defending national champion going into that year get to?
yeah, right. How many different teams claimed? Well, that's true. How many runner-ups were there that year? Probably had 17 different national champs in 1952. So you could have 17 different teams that were claiming that they were the runner-up. So that's an interesting factoid. We're talking Washington there. I'll get to our NFL stuff coming up in the final hour. I'm kind of feeling good, feeling a little college football mojo right now.
Okay.
And I'm going to keep this boat moving. Let's keep this train rolling. We'll get to the dirty pool coming up top of the hour. Heather Dinich put out an interesting piece, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it. So she went through, this came out I think last week, basically ranking the teams who could make the college football playoff for the first time, pop their playoff cherry, which multiple teams are going to do this year because we have an expanded playoff. And you have auto bids, and Florida State ain't getting left out if they go undefeated, right?
Sure.
Utah wins the Big 12, they're in. And I'm just curious, a couple of different things. Are we rooting for any of these teams to get there? Which would be the best story, and of the chances to make it in terms of like gambling odds, who would we like? So she just ranked the top eight teams who have never made it that have a good shot at making it this year. Number one was Penn State, not a surprise. Knocking on the door, they go 10-2, they're probably in.
I think Penn State making it cools the James Franklin chatter for a Nittany Lion fan, but
yes.
That's only going to last so long if they don't win a game.
Penn State being good at football, good for the sport? Are they one of those? We over it? Have we moved on? Can we move on?
Yeah. I moved on a while ago for obvious reasons. I understand there's always going to be an argument and pushback on this topic. I still don't like them.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever will.
Missouri is number two on her list. Obviously never been to a playoff. Tennessee sniffed one a couple of years ago, and then Hendon Hooker got hurt, and they couldn't quite get over that hump, but they were close, so they're number three. Number four is Kansas State with a great shot out of the Big 12. Number five is Ole Miss. Six is Louisville. Seven is Boise State. They're picking up a lot of steam as the G5's team to potentially make it. And then number eight on her list of teams who have never made the playoff, who have a great shot at making the playoff, is Utah. And I'm curious of those eight. Are we like, which ones are we rooting for that would be a good story for the sport?
Well, I will always root for Kyle Whittingham.
Yeah.
Utah has been always a game away in this successful run at the end of the Pac-12. Like, just always that one dumb game away from not making the playoff.
Yes, they are.
Haven't been able to clinch those bowl game wins. I still think they have the sickest Rose Bowl logo affiliation of all time, and I'm bummed that it hasn't been, you know, capped off by a Rose Bowl victory. I'm rooting for Kyle Whittingham in Utah. I think they can definitely do it in that conference. Kansas State, just like 2 years ago, had a great claim of like, hey, see what TCU did? Yeah, we just beat them in our conference championship game.
We did.
But they had dropped the ball too many times to get in that. So that would be cool with Chris Klieman. And Kansas State, I think, gives a lot of other smaller state schools throughout the country, I'll use my school as an example, a hope, a belief.
Small town, not easy to recruit to. Manhattan, Kansas is in the middle of nowhere.
It's been great. It's good for them that they're in the Big 12 because they'll always have a chance, whereas like my school is a group of five teams, so it takes a lot, I think, to get in that. Boise is probably the most historical deserving of it. They had so many years where if we had this, they would have been in it as a group of five, and nobody would have batted an eye after they beat Oklahoma. So it'd be cool to see them rewarded. And Missouri's had some up and down seasons in my life. They've had some really good years. Drinkwitz's team was really solid last year. And even if you don't buy into bowl game results, which I think from time to time you definitely can put, you can question whether it's valid or not or matters. They capped off their year with a really good bowl victory. Tennessee, traditional power in my mind. They really slumped after Philip Fulmer won that national championship.
About 20-year departure from relevancy.
About 20 years, but
they're
you
back.
Know what? They're back. Josh Heupel, how's it going? Nico there. They have the best defensive line player and edge rusher in college football in James Pierce Jr. I would be really excited to see Tennessee in it as well. There's not really one you named other than Penn State that like, Penn State, I'd like to not see it because I think it's funny they live in misery. May deserve it. But all those other programs have been very close knocking on the door, or if you had an expanded playoff, 15 to 10 years ago would have been in it at some point.
I mean, you use Utah as the example. They would have been in the playoff multiple times.
Kansas State with Snyder, Fiesta Bowl year with Oregon. They would have been a playoff team that year.
The year that they beat TCU in the Big 12 title game, they would have been in. Louisville with the years with Lamar had some 10, 11 win seasons that were really good.
They were in
the mix as well, so they would have been a playoff team.
Lamar in a 12-team playoff.
Oh, God, it'd be incredible,
right? He'd be the most terrifying player your team could go against.
I think there's the smaller school angle I completely agree with. Kansas State having a chance to knock off big dogs will be a lot of fun. I just hope it's not my school. Seeing them be the kind of Cinderella story, if you will, small town, not one of the two power conferences. I'm all for Kansas State getting there and making some noise. Love that program. I do reside in the belief, and I don't know if I'm alone in this, because we do this in all of sports, not just college. This happens in every professional sport. Like the Knicks being good, it's good for the NBA, Madison Square Garden. Tennessee falls into that category for me. I don't know if it's just because of the peak years that they were legitimately relevant were my childhood years as a college football fan.
Probably.
Of the T. Martin and Peyton, you know, Peyton Manning and losing a national title and then winning a national title.
Yeah.
I loved those Tennessee teams, man, in the checkered end zone.
Yep.
Neyland Stadium, Rocky Top, 100,000 people. There's something about Tennessee being good that I enjoy.
The tee on the helmet.
It's clean. It's such a good look. When they beat Alabama 2 years ago and they carried the goalposts into the damn
into
river,
the lake or whatever,
that's one of the highlights of the last 4 years of the sport. And so I look at Tennessee as like I would love to see them, especially if you give me they don't win the SEC, but they're hosting a playoff game at Neyland Stadium and your team or some other big team has to go down to Knoxville in December or January and play a road game in front of 100,000 people. The spectacle of that would be incredible. So I'm rooting for Tennessee to get there.
So Tennessee is probably one of those, like, we're both at an age where Tennessee was really good at a pivotal point of our sports viewing lives.
Yes.
Dirt from 04. In 04, they went 10-3 of Philip Fulmer.
Mm-hmm.
So from 05 to 2021,
oh, no.
They had one double-digit victory season.
Not good.
One.
Bad coaching hires, mismanagement.
Mostly, I would say, like, they had 2 9-win seasons, and the rest were 6, 5, and 7s.
I'll never forget when they came to Eugene and Oregon went there. Those were absolute bloodbaths. They hit Oregon at their peak, and Oregon hit them at their downfall. And those games were ugly.
Tennessee and Georgia, I think, are a lot alike. If you go look at their football reference, just a lot of mid to okay years, a couple pop years.
Yeah.
But largely not a Bama, Ohio State, a Michigan in terms of the success. But just it's the years you're good that matter. So for us, we're hosting a show. Tennessee was a really good program, and they won a national championship.
Mm-hmm.
The crazy thing about that was they won it the year after Peyton left with T. Martin.
They lost to Nebraska, yeah.
And so in our minds, it's like Tennessee. And for a lot of people, Georgia had this up until they won it again where 10-win season with Rick, and before that, it was just like, Georgia football, I guess.
Right.
Clemson was a little bit of this. Like, I think they get blue blood labels, but for a large stretch of different decades, not really that good.
Yeah. It's unique that you can all of a sudden then pull out of it. You make the right hire, and now you're back and relevant. And that's how quickly things can turn. You also said something about Penn State, too, that I find interesting, and that is, I'm curious in the years to come, and maybe it won't be that big of a change, and it just turns into, like, did you win a playoff game? But how the grading of coaches and the temperature of a fan base changes with an expanded playoff. Like, Penn State's a prime example of this. We all look at James Franklin. No, he's a good coach. He wins 10 games almost every year he's there. But he can't get over the hump against Ohio State and Michigan. Maybe that changes this year.
Yep.
But how different does Penn State feel in two of the last 3 years if instead of losing out on a playoff spot and not winning the conference and having to go to a consolation bowl, they're in the college football playoff? Is the temperature different on him? So maybe it doesn't change that much because you still got to go and win. And if you lose in the first round, that same problem will exist. But I find that interesting of how much does the opinion change of a coach with the expanded playoff and now saying, hey, I made the college football playoff. Is that going to count the way that it used to?
I don't think it would, but like with this, like if Penn State were to make playoff but not win a game, I think the temperature would get hot. They'd be like, well, there's 12 teams.
You go 10-2, you get in, and then you lose the first game, don't win the Big Ten.
Right. Yeah. It may be a little misguided and idiotic to fire Franklin because you can always go, who would you hire? But that may be where it goes. Do you think it ever reaches like a group of five? Like, as Boise State goes to three straight playoffs but never wins?
Can't win a game.
You remember the Belmont coach? Every time he went to the tournament, I think he was like 0-15. He never could win a tournament game, but he had a great program.
Come on, man.
Does it get down to Boise State level where the fan is like, I don't know, man, we're not winning any games in this playoff, so who cares if we're in the playoff?
Fire his ass, man. He can't get over the hump.
I think that's the bar for teams. It's going to be, you made it first year, cool.
Yes.
And then I think after year one,
expectations.
It's going to be win a game. And like, Oregon is definitely in this. Lanning loses this year in the first playoff game. It's going to be a little noisy. There's going to be people questioning it, making fun of your team. And then year two, I mean, once you start not doing it, I think that becomes like the pressure cooker where it's like, cool, you made it. But there's 12 teams. Eventually, it's going to go to 16. Yeah. We all know it.
Oh, we'll get there eventually.
And then it's not even going to matter if you make the playoff. It's going to be, how many did you win this year?
Very true. Very true, Bob. Well, I got some NFL notes I want to get to. Fun talking college football. We'll get back to it coming up at the top of the hour. Let's take a couple of check-ins to training camps around the National Football League, and we'll do that next on The Fam.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver. Over online at crunch.com. We'll get back to the dirty poll coming up at the top of the hour with the daily ticker. And we go to number 19, Clemson, today. Don't forget the mail sack coming up at 8:15. So get your questions into the Vancouver 4 text line, 503-864-6326. You can also fire them away on Twitter at Dirt Sprague, or throw them in the YouTube live chat. What do we make of Jimmy Garoppolo saying the Rams allow him to be himself, unlike other places he's been?
So he's citing porn star experience, because I don't know what the Niners did to not allow him to be himself.
I also didn't know if this was a shot at the Niners or was this a shot at the Raiders?
Oh, I guess the Raiders. I forget about that Raiders.
I don't know who we're taking a shot at here.
I think it's the Raiders, then.
We're taking shots here. Yeah. They allow him to be himself. That's why he wanted to go to L.A.
I think Jimmy Garoppolo should be playing preseason football, and I don't know why he's allowed to get a pass. Like, what's Jimmy Garoppolo done in 4 years?
Nothing. He quite literally almost killed one of his key wide receivers last year. I think Davante Adams nearly murdered him.
He did.
On a sideline in Vegas.
I think it's ridiculous.
I saw that and I'm like, why is Jimmy Garoppolo in my news feed again?
I forgot he was a Ram until I saw him in the preseason.
No clue.
On the sideline. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. Rams signed him.
Had the same reaction. We mentioned yesterday on the show a little bit, the Bills and Bears played a game over the weekend and the Bears killed them. The Bills offense did not look great.
No, it didn't.
They're trying to figure out where they go at wide receiver, which ironically there were highlights of Stephon Diggs getting to C.J. Stroud's face on the sideline, not in a mean way. They were just having a conversation after a series. They have placed, the Bills that is, Chase Claypool on the IR after basically missing all of training camp with a toe injury.
His career's done. And that dude is cooked.
That's one of those like, yeah, that guy's not going to help you out. Not that you had much optimism in the first place, but I think it's one of the biggest storylines right now in all of preseason is what do they get from that position? Does it hold them back? And does that Stephon Diggs trade age like sour milk?
Well, I think there's a real chance Houston's offense with Diggs involved, and we said this when he got traded, I don't think he's a solidified number one anymore. I think he's a very good complimentary wide receiver and probably the best like kind of 2-3 you could possibly have in a group. We saw a little bit of the impact it had in their preseason game. Tank Dell got a nice touchdown pass and catch. You know, I think Buffalo could come out a little shaky offensively. Like, they're waiting for Keon Coleman to get his legs under him and to figure it out. He only had one catch for 8 yards, and that was after Josh Allen had subbed out and they went to Trubisky. Curtis Samuel's going to be relied upon a lot, and you can certainly make whatever commentary on that you want. I still think tight end's going to be a big factor for them offensively, and they clearly want to run the football. So,
yeah,
I still like Buffalo a lot. We hopefully get to our preseason DNS top 10 using the AP-style stuff.
We'll do that in the final hour.
I think Buffalo is just in this conversation as well as any other team. You can question things, but Josh Allen is great. They ended the season on a high, outside of the playoff loss, obviously. I'm talking about the regular season.
Yeah.
And I think they've got the horses to do it. They're going to need the defense to get it going. They did lose a lot of guys defensively. But, like, Jordan Poyer's already hurt in Miami. And that's kind of what his career has been the last 2-3 seasons. Yeah. So I think if they come out defensively, be good enough. We'll see what the AFC East is like. I think New England's going to be two wins for almost every other team in that division. Buffalo can be fine. They've just got to build the chemistry up with Allen and the rest of those guys and let the rookie wide receiver maybe emerge as a premier number one eventually.
I mean, to your point, I know some hate doing the woulda, coulda, shoulda game. If Stephon Diggs catches a ball, they might beat the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs. And how different is the narrative right now if they win that game? And
it hit his hands.
Who knows where they go from there? Do they win another game? Does it end there? I don't know how the future would have played out. But that was a divisional round playoff game that they had a legitimate shot at winning against the team that went on to win the whole damn thing. And they were knocking on the door.
I'm buying Bill's stock. I think there's a lot of people that are selling it off.
There are a lot of people. That stock is tanking a little bit right now. Numbers are down.
Buy the dip.
Speaking of number one wide receivers, there was also a coach who was asked about that and says he wants to vomit every time he hears the question, and that is Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. Said, every time somebody asks me about number one wide receiver, I want to vomit, if I'm being honest with you. It drives me crazy. That's something that you guys talk about. I feel like we got a bunch of them. And I think it's just the general question of Devontae Adams was so good and so dominant. It's not that you don't have any talent in that room. Jaden Reed, I believe, was their leading receiver last year, about 800 yards, 60 catches. Really good season. Christian Watson, when healthy, has been outstanding and a great deep play threat.
I think he's their number one.
And he's saying, well, you're going to make LaFleur vomit. Be careful. They have multiple number ones. They don't need a number one.
But I think he can be right here. Like, do you have to have a number one?
I don't know.
Who was Kansas City's number one last year?
Patrick Mahomes.
Travis Kelce. Wide receiver-wise, whoever caught the touchdown pass, Mecole Hardman.
Yeah, who got the game-winning touchdown pass
at the start of the year.
Give that guy the credit. Yeah,
look, you certainly would like a number one. I don't think you have to have a solid number one. There's only so many of those in the league. Hell, the Niners had a number one last year. They're not even sure they want to pay him.
Yeah.
Because they don't know who their number one is. So you can make arguments for guys, and some rosters have clear-cut number ones. I think Tyreek's the clear-cut number one in Miami over Waddle. Clearly, Devontae, right, in Vegas is a number one. You go around the list of, like, who's the number one in Carolina?
I don't think they have one.
Okay. Is Michael Thomas still the number one for the Saints?
Yeah.
Jacksonville?
Yeah.
The Colts? You could say Pittman. I don't know how confident you feel about that.
There's a lot of teams that fall into that category.
There's a lot of question marks, and I don't think it's that important. So I understand where he's coming from of, like, I'm going to vomit. Reed's their leading receiver. I think going into the year, it's Christian Watson.
But both of them are young, too.
Dobbs is really good. Their tight end play is good. I love that they got Josh Jacobs. I'll miss Aaron Jones. We'll see how that goes. But he got an elite quarterback, and they think that they do. I don't think it's a priority to have we got to have the big number one wide receiver.
Last but not least, before we go back to the daily, the dirty poll, I should say, with the daily ticker, I think we have found Swag's Christmas present, and that is that Will Levis and Mayonnaise have teamed up to make a mayonnaise perfume, or cologne, I should say.
Mm.
We have a Will Levis number 8 mayonnaise cologne.
Why is he not doing a mayonnaise coffee creamer?
I don't know, but he's doing a Hellman's mayonnaise cologne.
Should have done a Hellman's mayonnaise coffee creamer. That's literally how he found out about his mayonnaise love, was he said he put it in his coffee.
Would you wear this if we bought it for you, Swigard?
What do you think?
Come on, what if it smells good? You never know.
No, it won't smell good.
You never know.
Can it smell worse than the Michael Jordan?
I mean,
if you're done with me being your producer, go ahead and put a bow on that for Christmas.
Of all the things, mayonnaise cologne would do it.
That's pretty much the indication we're done with Swag in the morning.
What are you more likely to
perfume
do?
Perfume number 8, man.
Wear Hellman's cologne or eat a Taco Bell burger?
Probably eat a Taco Bell burger.
Okay. It says the Parfum de Mayonnaise opens with a bright burst of tart lemon that provides a refreshing and clean introduction. At the heart of the fragrance lies a creamy, daring mayonnaise accord offering a smooth and complex heart. What's not to like? Mayonnaise cologne.
I'm not very interested.
We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. Mail sack coming up at 8:15. Get your questions in 503-864-6326. That's the Vancouver Four text line.
We just got a DM, one of our listeners. Michael Thomas got cut. There you go.
Oh, there you go. Fun fact
for you. Can't even answer the question. The Saints don't have a number one either.
Definitely don't have one. Let's start the final hour, though. A loaded, as Johnny Legwood would say, loaded final hour with the dirty pool number 19. Clemson kicks it off next on the Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.